You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
And good morning. Do we have any announcements this morning? Okay, if there are no other announcements, the scripture reading today is going to be in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Okay, and I'll start with verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And Father God, we just want to ask for your blessing on the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this time together, your appointment, the scripture that we're going to study. Your son might be honored. You might be glorified. What a wonderful plan that you set out from before time began to redeem us and to bring us back home. We thank you for that. We praise you, Father, now that your Spirit will take the things of Christ, make them real to us, build us up in a faith that is able to withstand not only the evil one, but, Father, to accomplish the good things, the good works which you before ordained we should walk in. We thank you for these graces, Lord, as you attend to them. In the name that is above every name, in the name of your Son and our Lord, Jesus Christ, we thank you. Amen. We have before us the next 3 weeks going to look at the birth of Christ. And we're going to start today with the seed of the woman, but we're going to kind of work our way back because there is a question of that we need to ask ourselves. Who is this? Who is Jesus? Who is this one? It's not that uncommon of a question if you stop and think about it. A lot of people have wondered, who is Jesus? Didn't Peter Jennings do something here just recently on TV? And they asked the question, you know, who is the real Jesus? Who is this man Jesus? And then they tried through the wisdom of philosophers and educators who don't know him, but they know about him. They have a head knowledge, but not a heart knowledge, to uncover and reveal to us who this man is. But we do know who he is. We know even better than U.S. World Report that came out a few years ago with the Jesus Code and trying to figure out who Jesus was. Through the Jesus Code, it was on the front cover of U.S. News and World Report. It was interesting, too. Another person that brought it up recently was Larry King. Larry King's a Jew. Brian Gumbel interviewed him, and Brian said, you know, Larry, if you could ask God one question, what would that question be? Larry King said, I would ask him if he had a son. Who is Jesus? The world has a hard time trying to understand it. You can't understand who he is apart from this book, as much as you might try, because this book is the revelation of him from the beginning to the end. And you have got to study this book in order to know who he is. You can read about him, and what you'll read about him outside of this book, if not based on this book, may not be truthful. Do you follow that? But that which is outside of this book, which is based upon this book, will be truthful, will be accurate. And will talk to us about him and who he is. And explain to us the things that God has revealed about him. There's many things about him we don't know. Now think about that. There's many things about him we don't know. What we do know, though, is revealed to us in this book. There have been other letters, and we talked about them in our study. And, of course, this year we have gone through a long study of the Bible, the authenticity of the Scriptures, and how we got our Scriptures. And most importantly, we specified in the last couple of months the prison epistles and the particular revelation of who he is, because this whole book does talk about him from the beginning to the end, from Genesis to Revelation. It is history, his story. But in the prison epistles, we learn something very particular and very peculiar and very unique about who he is. Now, of all the billions of people that have lived on this planet, and I don't know how many billions that may encompass. Do you think for a moment, how many billion people do you think have lived on this planet? I know right now it's over 6 billion. I do know that there was a fellow that I read one time that said that he had done a study up to the time of Noah, and he said at the time of Noah there were 25 billion people. And I didn't test, I didn't go prove, you know. I've read another guy who said that the total number of people who have ever lived on this planet are 30 billion people. I don't know. Yeah, who knows? We don't have any genealogies. We don't have any records. Go down the courthouse and look at the public records. We can count them up. 1, 2, 3. No, we don't have that. But there have been a lot of people. Name me one person who has affected this world. Name me one person whom has more written about them in this world. Name me one person who is more discussed, who is more adored, who is more in conflict, who has more opposition than Jesus. You can't. There's not. This one person even divides our time periods from B.C. to A.D. Now, I know today that it's more politically correct to have C.E. instead of A.D. because they don't want to recognize this one person. Common Era. Oh, and they even have B.C.E. now. B.C.E. is before the Common Era. And you know why that is? I read this on the internet. This is we'll get to some other stuff that I read on the internet later. B.C. is before Christ, and A.D. Anno Domina. That's the year of our Lord, Anno Domina. People don't understand it. Am I saying that right? I don't know. Okay, that's close enough. A.D. People, it's not after death. Domini, thank you, that's it, Anno Domini. In the year of our Lord, people don't understand that today, so it's much more correct to say CE, Common Era. Most people don't, that's how illiterate we are today, but you know, we do divide even our centuries, not just our time, our centuries between BC and AD. That's how much impact this one person has had. And it's amazing because if you stop and you think about it, this person never wrote a book. Although many books have been written about him. He never painted a picture. Although many pictures have been painted about him. He never wrote a poem. He never formed a sculpture. He never wrote any music that we know of. All of these things about this one person have fascinated the world. His birth, his life. Let me kind of bring that in a little closer. Not his life as much as his ministry. Because we don't know very much about his life. We do get the early glimpse. We get a glimpse when he was 12 years old, and we get a glimpse of his ministry. So it's really his birth, his ministry, his death, and his resurrection. Amazingly. You know, he traveled in a very small circle, had very few friends, never lectured to more than, say, 5,000 at one time. Didn't have the Colosseum full of hundreds of thousands of people. Very unique man. This one man has commanded the attention of this world more than any other man. Amazing thing about him is that he is not just a man. He's the God-man. He's a unique creation. We know that because, well, one of the things that helps us is this passage over here in Timothy. There's one God, one mediator between God and men. It's the man, Christ Jesus. You know, the heavens now have a new order. Until that time, the heavens didn't have the God-man. They had God, even though they had God in the form of God, the Father and the Son and the Spirit. They had principalities and powers. They had dominions and mights. But they never before had the God-man. The heavens today have Him. An amazing thought once you stop and you think about it. And it wasn't, His birth wasn't something that God decided to do because of the opposition of Satan. His birth was something that God had worked out even before time began. So it wasn't an afterthought on God's part to do this. It was forethought. What an amazing man this is. And there's so much opposition to Him today. But we'll get to that in just a minute. If you're going to stop and think about His birth, and you're going to think about the details that went with His birth, you might go back to the wise men. That's one of the things you think about, isn't it? This time of year, don't you think about the wise men? And we always think of three wise men, although Scripture more supports seven wise men. Three wise men come to us from the fact that there were three gifts. But really, the Magi, they were people who we read about over in Esther, were really in the number of seven. But the amazing thing about them is that they didn't come at the time of His birth. They came 2 years later, following a star. So you might, if you're going to think about His birth, you might think about the shepherds who were standing out tending to their flocks at night. And the angel appeared to them and told them who was born. And then the angels appeared and sang the heavenly songs. Or you might go back to the innkeeper who had no room in his inn to watch to give to Joseph and Mary when they appeared in Bethlehem. Or you might think of that long trip to Bethlehem of a pregnant young girl and her husband. Or you might go back and you might think of the birth of John the Baptist with Elizabeth and Zacchaeus. No, it's Zacharias. I'm sorry. Zacharias and Elizabeth. You might even go back to when Elizabeth was pregnant and she visited Mary and the babe leaped in her womb when she found out that Mary was pregnant. Or you might go back before that. The angel appeared to Mary herself. Or even in our passage today when Joseph had a dream and he was told to fear not. Look, if you're still there in Matthew chapter 1, open your Bibles to that. And look what, fear not in verse 20. It says, while he thought on these things, what things? The fact that his espoused wife was pregnant. When he thought on these things, what things? Things that dealt with what should he do? You ever been in that situation? What do I do about these circumstances that I find myself in? What do I do about knowing somebody cheated on a test if I'm a school child? Or what do I do about somebody who's trying to encourage me to do something that's immoral or wrong? What do I do about television, radio, music, what I read? What do I do about these things that are wrong in my life? Or what do I do about things that are wrong in someone else's life and it affects my life and my family's life and my business? Or what do I do about it? Verse 20, while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. I'll tell you, God will never, ever leave us alone in those situations. You may not get as clear an answer as Joseph gets. No, you may not. But if you'll have patience, if you'll wait on God, if you'll let Him work His perfect work in your life, you'll be blessed by it. While he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is a Holy Spirit, is of the Holy Spirit. Amazing. Are you able in your life to take the Word of God and trust it? Do you believe that this is the Word of God? That's another amazing thing about His birth. You know, His birth is unique. It's unique. It's a virgin-born child. And what that means, actually, is that this is a woman who never knew a man. And yet she was still with child. A unique birth. Because it not only was a virgin born, but it was by the power of God. It was the power of God in Mary's life. You might think about, before this, you might think of some of the Old Testament prophecies that happened. You might think of, go back to Micah. That's one we ought to look at, chapter 5, verse 2. Give you a few minutes to find it. If it's in the Minor Prophets, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Jonah, Micah, Nahum. In Micah chapter 5, we have a prophecy about His birth. Verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall He come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. You know, even though the wise men had a star to follow, when they got to Jerusalem, they didn't know where the king was because the star didn't show them. They went into Jerusalem thinking that's where the king should be. They went in and Herod asked who? The prophets of the Jews, the teachers of the Jews. And they said, well, he's got to be born where? In Bethlehem. How did they know that? It came right out of here. It came right. Another thing you might think about, Isaiah, his name being Emmanuel. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 9. I say 9, I think it's chapter 7. Thank you. Chapter 7, verse 14. Another prophecy concerning him. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name what? Emmanuel. Which we read before, being interpreted, is God with us. Emmanuel. God with us. There's another passage in chapter 9 that speaks of him that's common around this time of year. In chapter 9 and verse 6. Chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And unto them a child was born. And a very unique child. Another passage that we might look at that might, if we want to go back in time, all the way back, go to Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, we'll start with verse 14. This takes us all the way back to the Garden of Eden and the fall of man. The first reference that we have in the Scriptures regarding His coming is found here in verse 14. Let's start. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Very first reference. Many others. You know, we have many that belong to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, to David. We have many prophecies that belong to David and the reference of the ruler coming to Shiloh, the scepter in his hand. All of these things speak about this one person, the seed of the woman. And why is it the seed of the woman? Why wouldn't it be the seed of man? You know why? Ask yourself that question. It's because man allowed sin to enter into this world. Man is corrupt, and nothing could be corrupt about this one Son of God, because this one Son of God, only begotten, was to be the Lamb that took away the sin of the world. He couldn't have come through man, because man was corrupt. Let's look at that. That's the look at Leviticus chapter 22, and notice here we see in the sin or in the offerings how important it is that the offering be without blemish, without corruption. In chapter 22, let's start verse 17. The Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, "Speak unto Aaron and to his sons, and unto all the children of Israel, and saying to them, Whosoever he is of the house of Israel, or of the sojourners in Israel, who will offer his oblation for all his vows, and for all his freewill offerings, which they will offer unto the Lord for a burnt offering, ye shall offer at your own will a male without blemish, of the oxen, of the sheep, and of the goats, but whosoever has a blemish, that shall you not offer, for it shall not be acceptable for you." Two things I want you to pick up in this passage. Notice that it's in verse 19. It is at your own will. At your own will. This is a decision you make. What is it that you're going to offer to Him? Is it the best that you have to give? What is the name of that song? Give your best unto the Master. What is it that you offer Him? What do you bring to Him? God here is specific that before there can be any acceptability, there must be an offering that is without blemish, without corruption. Another reason why it had to be a seed through the woman. A seed through the woman. God means this when He says it. If you go to Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. And notice his complaint against these priests. Chapter 1 of Malachi, verse 6. A son honors his father, a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest that despise my name, and you say, in what way have we despised thy name? Stop and think for a minute. Not only is he the Father, but because he is the Father, he's to be honored. He's to be revered. He is to be reverenced because he is the Father. It's because he is the Father we do this, but we do this because he is the Father. Verse 7. In answer to their question, well, what way, in what way or what fashion have we despised thy name? You offer polluted bread upon my altar. You say, in what way have we polluted it? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. That is a very demonstration and exhibition and evidence of our own nature if we don't bring before Him the very best that we have. Verse 8, if you offer the blind for a sacrifice, is it not evil? Of course it is, because according to Leviticus, the offering had to be without corruption. It had to be without blemish. It had to be spotless. If you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Sure. Offer, he says, it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee? You going to have the governor come to your house or the president and offer him burnt oatmeal? I don't think so. Not a good idea. You give him the best that you have because he's given us the best. The offering that he provided is a direct example of the offering that we should provide because what he gave was the best and he preserved that. Go to Matthew right there, Malachi. Go over to Matthew chapter 1 and look at his heritage. We begin with chapter 1, verse 1, the says the book of the genealogy or the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then it begins, Abraham begot Isaac. It goes all the way back to Abraham, the beginning of the promise that was given to Israel, the father of the Hebrews, Abraham. And he begins there with this lineage of Christ the King. And when he goes all the way through all these so-and-so begot, so-and-so begot, so-and-so begot, so-and-so, he gets down to verse 16. And Jacob begot Joseph. Jacob, that's Joseph's father. Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Now that of whom doesn't refer to Joseph. That refers, it's a feminine in its grammatical presentation. It refers to Mary. Because Jesus was not begotten of Joseph. Jesus was begotten of the Holy Spirit. And was born of Mary. So that's what we hear in the account. Go over to Luke. We read this in the account of Luke. When the angel Gabriel appeared unto Mary. Chapter 1 of Luke. Verse 26. We'll just look at a couple of verses here. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Verse 34. After Mary hears about all that's going to happen, Mary said unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee, and therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Spotless, perfect. By man sin entered into the world. By man the Son of Man, or the Son of God, could not enter into the world. He had to come through a unique and miraculous birth. Now this is a funny thing about the world today. The world does not want to receive that. The world doesn't want to accept that because the world doesn't believe that this book is the Word of God. And yet this book, every time opposition has come up against it, the opposition has been dashed. Every time criticism has been thrown against this book, criticism has lost out. We have a lot of different philosophies out there in the world today that want to teach us. We have, let's over in, go over to Philippians. It's what Paul talked about. We looked at this a couple of weeks ago. Not Philippians, Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. In verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So the bottom line is, when we come to the Bible, we have to ask ourselves one very important question. Does this book... Let me ask you this question. Does this book contain the Word of God? That's a trick question. Because if you answer, yes, this book does contain the Word of God, then it doesn't... What that says is that it's not the Word of God, all of it. But some of it is. Now, what parts of it are, I'm not really sure. I can pick and choose. If it just contains the Word of God, and that's a liberal approach to theology, to be honest. That's a liberal approach because the liberals are not going to believe in the virgin birth. They're not going to believe in the Garden of Eden. They're not going to believe in Noah and the Ark. The liberals don't want to believe in that, literally. It's like a myth. And it's a figurative presentation. It's, quote, another religion that man has dreamed up and thought of and given to the world, and is now on an equal basis with every other religious myth that any religion promotes. So if you ask yourself, does this book contain the Word of God? And you answer yes, and many people do. And the reason they do that is they have a lifestyle that they have wanted to, they want to find acceptability to. They don't want to be confronted by the facts. And so if they say that this book contains the Word of God, now they can pick which parts of this book apply to them. They don't care about you. It's just their own self-satisfaction and gratification. This is the Word of God. Okay, you mean everything in this book is true? Yes, everything in this book is true. You mean everything that's recorded in this book is true? No, I didn't say everything recorded in this book is true, because there's a lot of things that are said by people who are not truthful. But the inspiration of this book, in that everything that is presented in this book, as it's presented, is truthful. Even though some of the things that are said in this book are not truth, because of who said it and how they said it. Okay, now that's an interesting... Got that from Leland. That's a good one. Do you remember that? It's true. The inspired record is truthful. But not everything that's in the inspired record is truth. Because God presented it just the way it was. And if a person told a lie, he told a lie. God presented it as a lie. Many things that Satan is attributed as saying in this book are not truthful. Remember what he said, the very first thing he said to Eve? Thou shalt surely not die. Wrong. Okay. Today, I'll give you a little example. I went up on the internet and did a Google search. And I did a Google search on the virgin birth. And in that Google search, it didn't take more than 16 hundredths of a second. I got 69,900 references. The very first one is www.infidel.org. Let me tell you what it says. The very first one. The Virgin Birth and Childhood Mysteries of Jesus by James Still. Biblical scholars, this man writes, have long ago dismissed the literal interpretation of the miraculous virgin birth of Jesus. This is number one out of 69,900, which didn't take more than 16 hundredths of a second to find. Also, many liberal Christian, I'm still quoting now, Christian denominations have either quietly purged the curious piece of teaching from their body of philosophy or conveniently ignored the issue altogether. Now, I laid some of that groundwork and that foundation of coming to these philosophies and vain deceit of men. Because a lot of information today that we get is on the internet. Oh, okay, now I took another study. You can do a search within the search to refine your search. And I did. I put in the name Jesus. I got 64th of the 69,900, I got 64,100 in only 19 hundredths of a second. Well, that's flying. And the very first one, the very first one. It's not the Southern Baptist Convention. It's not the Roman Catholic website. It is something that's out of Ontario, Canada, called ReligiousTolerance.org. So if you go to the internet to look stuff, and it's ridiculous. They began the article with quotes from people who say that the virgin birth is heresy. Now, I didn't go check out these quotes because they're famous people, like Thomas Jefferson and St. Augustine and people like that. That the virgin birth is heresy. It's a myth. You can't believe it any more than you can believe any of the Roman gods were born or gave birth to sons and daughters, or the Greek gods. This book is in constant opposition. And we sometimes live in a small little world where we don't really know that. Now think about it. We were talking this morning in Sunday school about how foul-mouthed some people are in the workplace and how much contention and argumentativeness go on. When I was a kid, I was probably 18 years old, 17 years old. I worked for a construction company, and we went down. The company was doing projects in several states. We went down to Dallas to pour the gymnasium in Richardson, Texas, the Dallas area, in that area. And I never worked with people that cussed as much and fought as much and didn't get along as much as these guys. This is the biggest. We're up there pouring this concrete up on top. You know, we're 15, 20 feet up pouring this roof. And these two guys get in a fight right there in the middle of the job. And they're hitting each other and banging each other. And we got concrete, you know, in this big long 100-foot tube. And the truck's down there pumping it up. And we're pouring it. And they're fighting. And it's flying. And it's flying. They're flying. I don't live in that kind of environment anymore. I don't associate with those kind of people anymore. Your Christian life may be like that. You may not associate with people who hate God, who deny the virgin birth, who deny the Word as truth. Just a myth, a fairy tale, another story. But let me tell you, after doing this Google search, it's out there. It's all over the place. And it's on the TVs. It's in the songs. It's in the literature. It's in a lot of places that we don't frequent or associate. We walk into a lot of situations, and you will this Christmas time, because it's a time of holiday and cheer. And you might run into somebody and say Merry Christmas, and they say Happy Holiday. And you might think, of course, you know, that's, if you've been paying attention to any of the news this last week, that's a big deal. Some of the stores, some of the department stores will not let their clerks, their employees say Merry Christmas because they don't want to offend anybody. They don't want to recognize Christ and the birth of Christ. You're going to be in situations in the next few weeks, and we're going to continue this study of looking at the seed of the woman and some of the prophecies. And we're going to look at some of the amazing things that God has taught us out of the Scriptures. For, you know, one thing is December 25th really isn't the day He was born. He was born September 29th. We'll look at some of the facts that centered around that come from Dr. McLean's book. Max wrote in a book called The Real Christmas Story. And we have copies out there and you can get them. Just ask for it. And you'll be amazed at how unscriptural this celebration time is. But I'm not worried so much about that, because the world still celebrates the birth of Christ. Even though department stores don't want to say Merry Christmas, everybody worldwide is saying Merry Christmas. This book is the Word of God. This book is something you can trust in and rely upon. And don't ever, ever shy away from an opportunity to stand up for this book. One of the good things that you might do this holiday season, when you might encounter somebody who says, Happy Holidays, they may not mean anything by that. But you can find out real quick, who do you think Jesus is? Who is He? Who is Jesus? And see what they have to say. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Your Word and how accurate it is. How many thousands of years before His birth you announced it, You prophesied it, You foretold it. And throughout all the Scriptures, You never once wavered from that. And then 2,000 years ago, you made it real. In the fullness of time, born of a woman. We praise you for your thoroughness in that. And that we, Father, can rely upon He who gave His life that we might live. May we rejoice this season in His birth. May we rejoice, Father, in the fact that we have been redeemed. And may we rejoice that because He lives, we live too. We thank you for these graces in His name and for His sake. Amen. You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.